Welcome back to our Bible study. We're going to be in chapter 6 of Esther today, and we are picking up where we left off in chapter 5, where we saw where Haman is ready to kill Mordecai. He's made plans, he's made the preparations, he has made the gallows, the stake, whichever way it actually historically was. But he has made this, and he is ready now for the next day for Mordecai to meet his end, because he is just fed up with that man. And so he is ready for that to happen. But chapter 6 happens. And chapter 6 is a turning point in this entire book now. And so it just seems like up to this point, man, it's just gotten worse and worse and worse. But then chapter 6, everything flips on its head. And what I want us to see today is two things: pride and providence. Pride and providence, because that is what's going to flip this on its head. And we've talked about it, because we've said, you know, God is working behind the scenes. Even when it doesn't seem like he's right out in front and his name is not there, we're supposed to, as believers, even reading the Old Testament, we're supposed to see this as, well, God is working, somebody's working, and we're supposed to see that as being God. And so in chapter 6 now, when we reach this point, we've seen it in other places, but especially here, remember, we're not going to see God's name. We're not going to see him identified, but we're going to see so many things that's like, this is not a coincidence. This is not a coincidence. And so we always have to remember that with God, there's not luck, there's not chance, there's not fate. No, what we should use, the theological word, if you will, word that we should use, is providence. So this is God's providence. This is his control and orchestrating of everything that happens in the universe. It is God's providence that he is working his plans and his purposes through everything. And we said that we can't always see those in the here and now, but when we look back in our life, we can see how he was working. And so the word that we need to use, again, is not luck, it's not fate, it's not coincidence, it is God's providence. So if that's not in your vocabulary, add that to your vocabulary, especially when you're talking about the things of God, this is his providence. And so we're going to see God's providence in chapter 6. So let's jump in and look at what the Bible says. Chapter 6, verse 1, it says, "On that night," now remember, this is the night that Haman was ready to kill Mordecai. So it just so happens that night, which we know is not a coincidence, the king could not sleep. And he gave orders to bring the book of memorable deeds, the Chronicles, and they were read before the king. Now, if I couldn't sleep, a history book might would help me be put to sleep. But that's what he chooses. Again, providentially, God keeps him from sleeping. And in the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Old Testament, it's very explicit that the Lord kept him from sleeping. But as we see in the Hebrew manuscript here, that this was actually, that our English translation comes from, that was something that the translators put in the Greek New Testament. It's not in the Hebrew text. But they understood that God was working here. And so he can't sleep. That happens to be that night. And so he happens to ask for the book of deeds, and that's what's read to him to help him put to sleep. Verse 2, "And it was found written how Mordecai had told about Bigthana and Teresh, two of the king's eunuchs who guarded the threshold and who had sought to lay hands on King Ahasuerus." If you remember that, when Mordecai did report that, it was recorded, but then the king didn't do anything about it, didn't recognize him, didn't promote him. It would seem that he was passed over, right? But on this night, he reads that and he remembers it, or he finds out about it. In verse 3, it says, "And the king said, 'What honor or distinction has been bestowed on Mordecai for this?' And the king's young men who attended him said, 'Nothing has been done for him.' And the king said, 'Who is in the court?' And now Haman had just entered the outer court of the king's palace to speak to the king about having Mordecai hanged on the gallows that he had prepared for him." So again, remember, not a coincidence. It is God working providentially that Mordecai was passed over before, But now it's coming up on the very night before Haman has him, or is seeking to have him executed. And so the king, so I love this. Look at verse 5. So the king's young men told him, Haman is there standing in the court. And the king said, let him come in. So Haman came in, and the king said to him, what should be done to the man whom the king delights to honor? And Haman said to himself, whom would the king delight to honor more than me? So I love this, because the king is saying, all right, king has Mordecai on his mind. But then he asked Haman, his right-hand man, what should we do for the one I want to honor? And here's where we see God's providence, but also Haman's pride. Pride and providence working here. And God is working through Haman's pride, because Haman is thinking to himself, well, who else would he want to honor but me? So Haman is so self-centered that now he says, well, what would I want? How would I want the king to honor me? And that's what I'm going to tell him to do. So look at verse 7. So Haman said to the king, for the man whom the king delights to honor, let royal robes be brought, which the king has worn, and the horse that the king has ridden, and on whose head a royal crown is set. And let the robes and the horse be handed over to one of the king's most noble officials. Let them dress the man whom the king delights to honor, and let them lead him on the horse through the square of the city, proclaiming before him, thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delights to honor. So Haman thinks of the parade and the honor and the robes and the crown and everything that he wants to be done for him. And so he tells the king that, because he thinks that that's what he's going to receive. And so he's got all this in mind because he's so prideful that all he can think about is himself. So he gives this suggestion to the king, and then look at verse 10. Then the king said to Haman, hurry, take the robes and the horse as you have said, and do so to Mordecai the Jew who sits at the king's gate. Leave out nothing that you have mentioned. And so the very thing that he wanted now, he has to go put it on Mordecai, his mortal enemy, the one that he was seeking to kill. And all because of his pride has gotten in the way now of this. So verse 11, so Haman took the robes and the horse, and he dressed Mordecai and led him through the square of the city, proclaiming before him, thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delights to honor. I have to hand it to him. He did it because the king ordered it. So he had to do it. And so he had to dress Mordecai. He had to put him on the horse. He had to put a crown on his head. And then, don't miss this, he had to lead the horse through the town, through the city, and announcing that this is the man that the king honors, not him. And so verse 12, it says, then Mordecai returned to the king's gate, but Haman hurried to his home, mourning and with his head covered. And Haman told his wife Zeresh and all his friends everything that had happened to him. And then his wise man and his wife Zeresh said to him, if Mordecai, before whom you have begun to fall, is of the Jewish people, you will not overcome him, but will surely fall before him. So here in this part of chapter 6, what we see is God's providence, because none of that is an accident. None of that is a coincidence. None of that is something that was just fate. No, this was God working through it all, providentially. There's that word again. His providence to bring all that together. Remember, we talked about it earlier. Haman's delay in being recognized was for this purpose. We can look back in the moment. That was like 5 years ago of this time. And for Mordecai, I'm sure it was devastating, because he's thinking, man, I got passed over. I'm getting denied. You know, I did the right thing, and yet I wasn't recognized. And now there's a decree out to kill me, or, you know, to kill all of my people. And now he doesn't even know what's going behind. Underneath it, that Mordecai, or that Haman, is getting ready to kill him specifically. But he he has no idea what God is doing to get to this point, but now we see how God worked through it to bring all this together at this specific time. And we can also see how he uses Haman's pride, because Haman is so wrapped up in himself. And so there's a couple of things that I want us to think about here. First, I want us to remember that a delay is not a denial. I talked about this a little bit before when we talked about that time where Mordecai was passed over, but we have to remember that God's ways are higher than our ways, and God's timing is not our timing. And so we have to understand to trust God and wait and just see what he's doing, and to not, as the Bible says, not grow weary in doing good. Because sometimes it's easy to think, man, if I'm doing what's right and yet I'm still being persecuted, or I'm being passed over and I'm not doing I'm trying to do right and it seems like God's not responding to that, then it's just best if I just do whatever I want to do anyway, because it doesn't matter. That's the wrong view that Christians should have. Christians should say, you know what, I'm going to do what's right, even if there's a delay in the response of it, or the reward of it, or people recognizing it. Because Jesus talks about that in the Sermon on the Mount. He says, when you do those, the things that we're supposed to do, he says, do those in secret, but know that your heavenly Father sees it. So we, as believers, as Christians, we should not be people that are doing things so that other people will recognize us, or so that we get something in response or reward for it. Instead, our focus should be on honoring God, no matter if anybody else sees it, no matter if there is an immediate reward or response or anything like that. We should be people that honor God because we want to honor God. And then secondly, we have to fight that discouragement that says, okay, if there's a delay, it doesn't mean that there's a denial from God. And so we have to fight that, because everything in us wants it now. The immediate response and the immediate gratification of doing what's right and then getting the reaction or the reward or the response that we want. And so sometimes God can actually allow things to get worse before they get better. And we as believers have to be able to fight that discouragement of that. So maybe there's something in your life and you'd say, you know, I'm discouraged because it just seems like God's not answering that prayer, or maybe things have even gotten harder. And I just want to remind you to continue trusting God and his providence of how he's going to work through that. And even if he doesn't make it the way that you want it to be on this side of eternity, know that he sees and he knows, and we have an eternal reward that's waiting for us. And so if nothing else, we have to keep that in mind, that God does know and he does see and he does care. And so even a no or a not right now doesn't mean that it changes his promises of what he's promised us, or of our eternal reward and our eternal inheritance that we'll have with him for all eternity. But then from a bigger standpoint here, I want us to see how God uses providence and pride in his plan of redemption. Because Haman, and we talked about this before, but Haman should always be a reminder to us of Satan, the ultimate accuser against God's people. Haman is an accuser against God's people here to the king, but we said this multiple times, that Haman is also someone who is a shadow or a type of Satan, who is ultimately trying to destroy God's plan against his people, right? Against God's people. And so here we see how this reversal, where God uses the plans of Haman, the wicked plans, to actually exalt Mordecai. And that should, as we see this, that should kind of make us think about how God could use the evil plans of Satan through even someone like Judas, and through those religious leaders and things like that, who Peter says in Acts chapter 2, where he said, you know, that sinful men killed Jesus. And that's very true. But we have to remember that the plans were Satan's. And he thought, if I can defeat Jesus, then I'll be the ultimate victor here. right? If I can just kill Jesus, then I'll be the ultimate victor. And so we can see how God worked through the ultimate evil plans of Satan to actually exalt Jesus and to actually bring redemption and salvation for his people. And so again, it's pride and providence. So just as we see pride and providence here in chapter 6 and how God does this reversal to lift up Mordecai and that will ultimately save all of God's people and bring destruction to Haman, we see that on the darkest day, which was the day that the perfect sinless Savior was crucified, a man who had never sinned, who had never done anything wrong, and yet he was crucified as a criminal, what seemed like that Satan was going to get the victory, no, God actually used that pride and providence to bring victory, to then raise Jesus from the dead and purchase the salvation of all his people and actually bring the ultimate defeat to Satan. And so I love this picture of how we can see God flipping pride and providence for his ultimate glory and our salvation. And we see that right here through Haman and Mordecai for God's people of Israel. And so we're going to continue to follow this story, but I wanted to point that out. We won't do a separate video on that because we can just kind of hit that here. But that's another glimpse of the gospel there, of how God flips pride and brings ultimate glorification and salvation to his people through this. And so we're going to pick up at the very end of chapter 6 in the next video and start into chapter 7. But I hope that encourages you today. Remember that God's delay is not a denial. Fight the discouragement while we wait. I know that's hard. But also remember that God works through his providence to bring about his plans and purposes. And he'll even use the pride of sinful people in order to do that. And so it may look like something that we don't expect, but God never stops working. Amen. Aren't you thankful for that? He is always in control. And even the most evil person and plans are not above him. And so we just got to continue to trust him until one day we get to see him face to face. And then we'll know and we can thank him and we can praise him all eternity for how he has rescued and redeemed us. Amen. So I hope y'all have a great day and we'll see y'all again in a couple days.